From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Yup.
Go Team Venture. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Tonight, it is Wednesday, September 22nd, 2010.
Oh, and this is show number 097, getting ever closer to the big 100th show, where I have no idea what, if anything, special will happen.
We'll figure that out later. A quick bit of business, the usual business, before we get to a very special Paul and Storm podcast. We have 363 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. Join now and you can be one of the big block dandies. Go to paulandstorm.com to find out about that. And I'm too excited to bullshit anymore before we get to the podcast proper.
You and I both. My introduction part was especially cheesy because we have a special guest on the podcast this evening. Those of you watching the Twitter last night know we have with us actor, voice actor, raconteur, dare I say, singer-songwriter, James Urbaniak. Welcome, James. That's the light applause. Here's the important question. I see a
someone came totally prepared.
Someone is loaded for bear. I am woefully unprepared for the level of hilarity that we are about to face. Important question: is it Urbaniak? 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 Did I? Okay. Does that get mispronounced often, and does that vex you? I speak as someone with a also potentially not correctly pronounceable name.
All right.
And do you fight constantly when you run into each other? you may feel free to swear on this podcast, by the way.
All right. That's with the spirit. Yeah, it'll be like it's going to be like Highland. Eventually, there'll be a great showdown, and there will only be one pronunciation.
Oh, Highlander?
Highlander. No, I mean Highland.
It's going to be like Highland. That's the one where they just sort of have a fling and toss the caber at each other.
So we don't really do anything in particular on the podcast. I have a few topic subjects written down that we can discuss or not.
That places you firmly in the majority. So that's perfectly fine.
No, there are thousands out there, and we hear you listening to us right now.
Yes.
Let me start with this. And we don't interview per se, but you are from originally New York, correct? Yep.
North Jersey or Central or? Okay. Okay. Right.
Sure. Sure.
What exit? Yeah.
So.
Okay, so approach.
or are you, and you're just not telling us because the ink isn't dry yet?
That's right. Season 3. Oh man, you would be one of a great thing to throw in around like episode 4 or something, when they throw a wrench in the works, an Urbaniak shaped wrench.
But It's one word, yes. But you now live in the LA area, and I mention it because I'm always surprised that you live in LA. I guess there's the whole thing about New York people, LA people. It almost seems like you have more of the New York vibe and that you couldn't breathe in LA. How do you do it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been reading the same thing. How about that? Yeah. it's very evocative, that is for sure.
And is it true when you move to LA that you are assigned a psychologist when you cross the border to take up residency? Fantastic.
they're driving the front seat of the welcome wagon. Scientology, and until 1996, you also got an ounce of coke, a little vial. That's awesome. Now, those of you out there who don't know, it was the heady days of the late 80s, early 90s. When did you move out to Los Angeles, actually?
That's why you still entirely have the New York patina.
New York patina.
Totally.
Yeah. If they can, that is. They gotta deal with it or move out of the fucking way. Yes, you know, I'm trying to use it up. I'm trying to impress you because I know how strong your street cred is. No, that
depends
wasn't.
Depends on your street, I think.
That would have gotten you booted off of Jersey Shore head right quick. I was going to say, those of you out there who have not read the description of the podcast, which will contain this information, or are clueless enough to not know who James is, he is an actor, probably best known amongst our demographic as the voice of Dr. Rusty Venture on The Venture Brothers, which is currently in the second half of its fourth season. Is that correct? Do I have those numbers correct? Yeah. But he's been kicking around for some time. The first time I think I ever saw you, but though I didn't realize it was you at the time, since it was the first time I saw you, was in American Splendor, where you portrayed R. Crumb.
Yeah, R. Crumb.
Yes, that was a wonderful.
Oh no, I don't know. Maybe it's your street cred coming out again. That just twisting everything into that mode.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now,
yeah, and maybe. Well, see, I didn't pick
it's
that
really
up.
It's really tough. I'm
it's
telling
like
you.
It's like the anti-sarcasm, except for when it is.
Do they sell that in serum form? I was going over a couple of highlights of your career. You also recently appeared in the American Splendor. Yeah, that was. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, right. And so he gave a talk at school, and I went to see him. And he does the talk, and then Q&A, the audience, and eventually somebody said, what do you think about the interpretation of the American Splendor? Yeah. And he said, you know, I mean, right.
I was going to say, have you ever worn an open shirt in your entire life? Maybe you were standing next to Brad Pitt when he was pointed out.
Could so easily mixed up. Are we allowed to say, I mean, you've told us in the past, but I wasn't sure if you were allowed to say publicly yet the reason you have dyed your hair blonde for a role. Are we allowed to talk about that role at all?
Oh, sure. It's down the street from me, pretty much. Arlington, which many Virginians do not consider to be part of Virginia, but I do.
Claude Rains in the original, if you a guy named Joe, if you prefer. I suppose it is, but that's true. That's I'm sorry. Yeah, that's the original version of Always. Right. Oh, I thought that you'd gone blonde for your role in the Proud Family project. Loud Family, excuse me. Proud Family is a show about African American family that ran on Disney. Some call it the original reality television series, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, sure. Ah. much like his personality. He was always a slightly crinkly fellow. Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I have a couple of those. go-to impersonator, James Urbaniak. Now, were you offered the opportunity to meet with Cavett at all beforehand, or would you have bothered had you been given the opportunity, or did you prefer the distance, sir?
Yeah, no, it never came up, and I didn't seek him out.
How many hours of tape do you think you went through to try to nail the essential Cavett from that era?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah. Right. Just. Right.
Right, I can't believe I'm here talking to whoever it is.
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's right. True. Scratching, were they all scratching away at their polyester, and or were they all hipsters and used to it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, to ah, yeah, had to throw in what about 4% more insouciance after the first take? Got him. now to ask the crap entertainment magazine style question, do you crap do you find doing a impersonation, for lack of a better word, portraying someone who exists, do you find that more interesting, less interesting, more difficult, less difficult, or just different? Unfortunately, I don't have the HBO.
Yeah, so. nor do I.
Nor. Hey. That's true. How can we not? Get me someone Tweety. Get me your Baniac.
Now, since
right. 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 You're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do do you find that you often start with the voice, whether you're portraying a real life persona or when you're trying to develop a character? Because it seems like that's something that you're very attuned to. Yeah. Sure.
You know what we need to do?
What's that?
We need to get James a weekly radio show, like an old style serial, like Suspense or maybe some Gumshoe,
right? Or Insurance Detective, perhaps.
Yes, there you go. James Urbaniak, Insurance Investigator. Some call me the Adjuster.
I'm going to switch.
There's so many heights.
I'm going to switch.
There's three heights, I guess, if you count them. Okay. My point is there's a lot of heights. It was more of a metaphor, but it's kind of broken down at this point.
But I've been on top of them all. There's that patina again.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch gears and go to, this was actually a question that someone asked of us last week that I'm very curious to hear your answers on this, James, and yours too, Paul. And I don't know what I'm going to say either. They have asked, what was your first record as an LP vinyl? Then what was your first cassette?
Your first purchase, you mean, right?
Purchase, correct. Not that you listened to, but that you actually purchased with your own money, then CD. And then download an 8-track, because, you know, you may have purchased an 8-track. So please. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We didn't
That's
have
right.
music.
Yeah. I recall those times as well. We were at the bottom end of that demographic, but within mm-hmm. it nonetheless. We were both 7 years old. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I remember that when we were...
No,
we're going to fogey with you here. I remember it was a really big deal when one of the older Disney movies would come back to the theaters.
But that's right. They would recycle them every 12 years or so.
Yeah. So it didn't matter what age you were. If Snow White was in the theater, you know, the family was going to pack up the car. I remember that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, maybe just another year later.
It was February 1976, according to the internet. I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes, it is possible. You might have seemed a bit lame. The section might have been growing smaller. the cassette... You know, it's a funny thing. I was just going to mention, I was going to be joking about how the cassette section, probably around whenever that came out, what was it, 93, 94, was it had gone from being, say, half the store to just sort of one little corner, one little bookshelf of cassettes. And I was just noticing the other day when I was in Best Buy that has increasingly happened to the PC games and to standard DVDs. I remember in Best Buy, standard DVDs used to be, it seemed like 3/4 of the store, and now it's all pretty much Blu-ray and...
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh,
wow.
Well, what... Yeah.
Isn't that basically what the cart machines in radio were?
They were 8-tracks.
Simplified 8-tracks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've all done the college radio gig in our careers.
Yeah, I don't imagine they use carts anymore, but it's certainly handy.
I was there at Penn State the day they installed the CD player in the studio.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Inter-office envelopes.
Inter-office mail?
They do. They do still exist. I think there's one sad, lonely factory in New Hampshire that produces all of the output now, and it doesn't take them a lot of effort. Yeah. No, that's completely. I remember when, yeah, that's what Napster was great for when it first came out, was all those oddities that you thought were lost forever suddenly cropped up like mold spores on a wall. Yeah.
Now, I guarantee you they don't use the word groovy, James. I'll pop in with an answer of mine that I don't think I gave last time we talked about this. My first CD I purchased, I got on the day I purchased my first CD player, and that was Peter Gabriel's So. I had been a Gabriel fan prior. Not a rabid fan, but, you know, had a few of his albums and had been told by numerous friends who already had CD players that it was a very good disc for testing your system. And very wide dynamic range and a variety of sounds. And it was a very proud purchase. I still have that CD, and it's mixed a lot lower than, or I should say, I guess it's mastered a lot lower than a lot of CDs in the ensuing years. God, I must have bought that thing in 1989, maybe 1990. But that's one thing I noticed. Things are, I have a number of CDs from back then, and almost to a man, they are all mastered much softer than current CDs.
Well, it was a softer time.
It was a softer time. It was the end of the Reagan era.
Now we're actually. Yeah, my first was a Pink Floyd album, pretty much for that reason. Just the idea that the music was somehow purer or would have more punch to it. I don't know if that was true or not, but I felt good about my purchasing decision.
Do you still have a record player, James?
I bought a record player a few years ago in New York. There was a store in New York. It's one of those, not Urban Outfitters, but it was some store and sort of like, oh, they had one over on like Fifth Avenue, like 23rd Street.
The
right.
Oh, right. The hip hop type place. Sure.
Yep. Right. Yep.
Character actors.
That's right. You need to hear the hisses and pops during all the pauses when Mike Nichols stops talking, but before Elaine May talks back. It's all about the noisy silences, I find, Nichols and May routines. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Some... mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What's the noun of tactile?
Tacticity. Let's go with that.
Tactilitude. I That's right. I was going to say I myself find that sound is best produced off of a cylinder, which is why I still have my Edison Victrola.
Now, there are still songs that I hear in my head with the specific scratches and slight skips that mm-hmm. were on the LPs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we had a Jesus Christ Superstar, the original concept album in our house, and in a couple of different tracks had skips in them at certain places, and you would get to the point where you knew exactly when yep. to nudge the needle and move. But as you were saying, Storm, I have the same exact association where there some of these songs it's been hardwired into my brain to expect this certain section to skip. And when I listen to it on an MP3 player, it feels a little off to me when I don't hear, you know, it just, you know, look at all my, when I don't hear that, it just screws me up.
So you didn't have the benefit of the skipping for that one.
The original concept album. No. They really are. They absolutely are. It's the truth. It is the truth. Yes. And then there was the third guy who was yeah. Jonathan Colton. Yeah. I would say histrionic. Yep. Mm-hmm. That is. I was just saying. Our mutual good friend Jonathan Colton has long maintained that same thing. He wanted to try and figure out a way to turn it into a This American Life story. How. That you can find amazing commonality among people who listened to that record growing up and were not necessarily religious, often not religious at all. But as you say, we'll immediately start singing lengthy sections of that record and trading off characters. You're just yet another anecdotal bit of evidence towards that point.
Sadly, I'm not part of the tribe, but I grew up in a semi-Jewish household, and that's the thing. My dad in particular was really into show tunes, and you know I have a great knowledge, but like that one, I think my mother didn't want in the house. my mother being the Jewish side of things, even though certainly it was just a musical. So,
yeah.
So I think, feel like I need to go into an educational bed for about a week. Yeah. It's Mission Storm, I think, for the next month.
You'll always be on the outside, Storm.
Well, that's my role in life, so it might be better to stay there.
Yeah. I don't want to be cruel that way, but it's certainly there's two types of people. There are those. Yeah. No, we've subjected it to him in road trips in the car when we're touring with Jonathan. On repeated occasions, I have plunked in, side one, disc one, side one of that musical, and poor Storm knew he was in for, 90 minutes of Jesus Christ Superstar and Jonathan and myself singing along full bore thing.
I think that's the thing, is it's like, will it be the same experience for me if I didn't sort of discover it on my own? Like, it's already been sort of interpreted for me.
I feel like you sort of have to be 12 or 13 when you discovered it, because it's so over the top and sort of pitched at that level that really sort of, it seems like a teenager can really key in on, as far as I'm concerned. Sort of it sort of meets that level of everything is so dramatic when you're
right.
When you're 12 and the hormones are rushing and nobody understands you, and hey, just like Judas, nobody understood Judas. Listen to him. He's yelling and screaming through this whole damn thing and nobody's listening to him.
I understand Judas. Wow. This is an extraordinary long podcast.
Well, we've got a guest, so we can go a little
longer. I know, that's
what
I was going to say. And if we can close out, something we do, James, on the podcast sometimes is battles, where we'll throw out two things or people and then mull over which one would win in a battle in a chosen arena. So
do we still have James here, or are you being uncommonly silent?
I think we lost James.
I believe we lost James. How about that? How about we pull James back up onto the podcast?
My. I was going to say it's been really fascinating, and then it got silent.
It did. Well,
he's now no longer being shown as anywhere.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. Let me go back to you, and let's go. Add people, and he's not showing up as on. I wonder if his internet connection went down.
I wonder if that's the case.
Oh my. Well, I guess that gets us out of figuring out how to wrap it up.
Yeah, I suppose so. Let's while we wait to see if he shows up, why don't you do one battle, and then we'll close things up unless he shows up again.
Sure, we'll take it slowish if you're still with us so far. Oh no, that's Kim Evie who just came online. Not James Urbaniak. Okay, the battle is Yogi Bear versus Winnie the Pooh. You with me?
I'm here.
Okay, making sure that people aren't dropping out on me. Or maybe he was offended because I hadn't experienced Jesus Christ Superstar.
That could well be. Yeah, that's offensive on many levels that you don't share our heartfelt appreciation of that musical.
Okay, Yogi Bear versus Winnie the Pooh.
Yogi Bear versus Winnie the Pooh.
Battlefield, which one of them would successfully get from New York to LA first?
Ooh.
Or which one would get there at all?
Well, there's the question. We're going New York to LA because that does make a difference.
Correct.
Because I don't know why I just felt like saying that. I don't think there's any question that Yogi Bear would certainly win. The question is whether or not Winnie the Pooh would actually make it to L.A. at all, or would he get sidetracked along the way, maybe somewhere around Illinois or the Dakotas.
I actually disagree with you here.
Okay.
I have to disagree with you, caller.
Okay.
I think Winnie the Pooh would make it first, and Yogi might not make it at all.
Okay.
As hapless as Winnie the Pooh is, it almost seems like the world, consciously or not, rallies around him to solve his problem. Almost, he's carried along on this wind of goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Yogi Bear, you look at the cup, and James Urbaniak is back online.
Yay!
And let's add him back. And there we go.
He's coming in a moment, I'm sure.
Oh, he's calling me. I'm going to decline him and then call him back.
Okay.
So
you do that.
That'll work.
This is some riveting radio right here.
Well, this is how it's done.
Yes, this is true. This is how we roll.
This is gritty and real life, and it's happening.
Wick, wick.
And I think he's still trying to call me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my.
While you are doing that, I will share. Yeah, that reminds me. I will share this anecdote from Woodstock, which happened this last weekend. Mike Furman and us, and I believe it was Adam Savage, were discussing that they were at Adam was at Dragon Con and saw George Takei, he who played Sulu on Star Trek, had a perfume out. And Mike Furman made the joke of the weekend when he said that they missed the chance, missed a big opportunity by not calling that perfume Oh My.
E-A-U.
E-A-U. Oh My. Yes. Well, they got that part. It's either funny to you or it's not. I thought it was frickin' hilarious.
All right. I'm still failing here. Okay. I see him there.
So we're at 51 minutes and counting, roughly, on Urbaniac Watch 2010.
See, the problem is I've added him to this group, but it's not actually dialing him. And if I hang up, I'll probably hang up with you as well.
Well, that's okay. We'll just talk amongst ourselves for about 20 seconds.
Tell you what
I'm
going to do. I'm going to hang up on you and restart this puppy.
You do that. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to sing the Itsy Bitsy Spider until you call me back.
Okay, I'm going to sing along because I can hear you.
The itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout.
Spider.
Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain.
Oh, you sound echoey.
Do I?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
And now let's try adding the Urbaniac. Okay, now he's ringing.
And the itsy bitsy spider. There we go.
Wow, what an adventure.
is your fault?
What's wrong?
Oh, dear Lord me.
No. I actually think we should do a rather shorter podcast, but release this one as well.
Yeah, with all the pauses in it.
Yeah, because you were saying some really fascinating stuff, and just I think it'd be very funny, you know.
We'll release this as a bonus.
Why don't we?
No, it's that. No, that's the funniest part is we will only have our two tracks
until this very moment. Are you recording now?
Okay. Well, then we're gonna stop recording this particular podcast at this moment, Storm. Why don't we do that?
Okay, if you've listened to this one all the way through, you are a total champ. And when you see us, if we have a cookie, we're gonna give you a cookie.
You totally earned a cookie. Congratulations, everyone.
Congratulations, and this was addendum/part A.
Yeah, this is
the podcast.
Show 097 stroke A1.
Stroke B. The one we're about to record will actually be the official one.
That'll work. Okay. And as such, I am Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average.
Oops. Forgot to plug it in.
Go do things.